Today I'm going to be reading Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Before I do that, I'll offer a word of prayer and then I'll read it. Please stand for the reading of God's word today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given, that we can come before you and worship you, adore you, and learn from your word. Help us to learn. Help us to properly apply your word and be obedient to your word. Take your word and saturate it into our lives and our hearts and our minds and our very souls and beings, that you and you alone receive the honor and the glory. We can genuinely be changed lives. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord.
Good morning. Well, as we have seen in our study here in the book of Ephesians, we've seen that our God is not a God of disorder. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order, and he has a design for everything within his creation. Our family has been going through the Bible this year, and just from Genesis to Revelation, and we're in Leviticus now. And one thing you see is God has a particular way. He is particular. He wants things done in a certain way. He has an order. As we looked at the design of the tabernacle, it's down to the very color of the fabric and the threads. Where the placement of the furniture is to go in the holy place. Where the furniture is to go in the holy of holies. Everything has order. Our God is a God of order. And he does not change. This is not a separate God in the Old Testament and now a different God in the New Testament. Yes, he deals with his people in different ways, but he's the same God of order. And we saw last week, God had specific instructions for wives, for husbands. And God is showing in order how he wants order within the household of his people. And now this morning, we will see God's instruction for parents and children. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before your holy throne in complete awe and reverence to you. You are a great and mighty God. There is none like you. You are worthy of all our praise, all our adoration, all our attention, and all our affections. Father, please keep our hearts and our minds focused upon you. And Father, as we look at these designs, your order of things, how you want things done within the household of God, within the individual families, we see, Father, how you have an order, a design for us. And Father, as we look at this, we see that we can't accomplish this on our own. We may be able to mimic them in the flesh, but that is not what you're looking for. Father, we know that you are looking for a pure heart. You're looking for an obedient heart, and that can only come from the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Father, may we be yielded and be spirit-filled Christians in this local body of believers. May the Holy Spirit manifest Christ in our life. May we not yield to the old nature, the old man who was crucified and rendered impotent, but let us yield, Father, to the new man who is in Christ Jesus. I ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit's ministry this morning to go before us, his illuminating ministry. I ask also, Father, for his ministry in each believer His anointing ministry, teaching us the things that need to change in our life. And Father, may we seek your grace to make those changes. May we be doers of your word, not just mere hearers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, as we continue our study, we look at God's design for the family. And first out, what we look at, children, is God's will for children. God has a specific will for you within the household. His appeal here is to children for Christian families in the Ephesians church who are old enough to understand the concepts as they were read aloud in the church, which clearly implies that children were present in the assembly. First, we see children first are to obey their parents. Very clear there. That's the imperative. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What does it mean for you to obey your parents? Well, the idea here is a continuous obedience. To obey their own parents, both mother and father are in view here. This provides further verification that mother and father are equal before the Lord. They both are to have obedience for their children. The children, you're to be submissive to your parents. This is God's authority over you within the household. So to obey means to be subject to. So we have a second practical example here found in the teaching of 5:21, where it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. God has an order. Where God wants us to submit, we're to submit. The scope of the obedience, it shows a parallel in the passage found in Colossians 3:20, where they are told to obey their parents in all things. This is necessary command because of our fallen nature, our inclination because of our sin nature is to disobey, not to obey. As a husband, I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. My inclination, my sin nature has me selfishness. I'm the most important person in the room. That's my sin nature. I need to not yield to that. I need to yield to the new man in Christ Jesus. I can't produce that love that God is calling me to do as a husband. But the Holy Spirit can. The wives' bent would be to not submit to their husbands. The children's bent in their sin nature is not to obey their parents. But this is the opposite of God's design. And it can only be accomplished wholeheartedly by a continuously dependence upon the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this inclination to not obey can be seen by its inclusion in the catalog vices in Romans. Romans 1:30 has it with backbiters, which is appropriate calling someone who gossips or a backbiter. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. Here is the disapproved mind of every sinner is described. It is also characteristic of the things of the last days mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, marriage negates the responsibility to obey, but it does not negate the responsibility to honor your parents, which we will see. There are few things more distasteful than observing disobedience of children to parents. Have you ever been to a grocery store sometime and a kid all of a sudden throws a fit over not getting something? Sometimes I would like to say, I can show you a biblical way to correct that. But we need to show tact. And of course, it is very distasteful, and it's universal, is it not? That's a, but this is to be in the Lord, according to our passage. It doesn't mean that only saved parents are to be obeyed, any more that a wife is only to submit to her saved husband. My wife and I were unequally yoked for the first 6 years of our marriage. I gave her a living hell on earth. She is a vast resource to talk about on how to be a submissive wife. If you're having problems in this area, women, I would suggest counseling with my wife. She's a godly woman, and I praise the Lord for her. I would systematically attack every bit of her righteousness in the first years of our marriage. And she would pray and pray and pray. And the only time she would not submit to my leadership as a whole was when it went against her convictions of the Bible. And that was an affront to us. And only because of God's grace and the fervent prayer of a righteous person, I know Scripture says a righteous man availeth much, but the idea is any righteous Christian who prays fervently, God will answer that prayer. And God did answer my wife's prayers and many others, and God graciously saved me and changed my heart. So it doesn't mean just because your husband is unsaved that you don't need to submit to his authority. Neither does it mean that because your wife is unsaved, you're not to love her as Christ loved the church. I remember once I was counseling this one teen. I was counseling his dad at the same time, and they were both very much addicted to alcohol and drugs. And when I sit with the teen, he's about 16, and he's like, well, my dad does this, and my dad does this. I says, well, that's fine. I'm not sitting with your dad right now. I'm not going to condone what he does wrong, but I'm more concerned about you. No matter how his dad or your parents treat you, kids, you're to obey. You're to submit to that authority. And I've given the illustration the same as government. Romans 13 is very clear. We're to submit to that government authority because it's of God. One person put it like this, it helped me put into perspective. If you can't respect the person, you respect the office. Because God placed that authority over us. And until they tell me I cannot preach the gospel, I'm going to obey until it contradicts Scripture. So it's parents obey, children obey your parents in the Lord. He's giving the sphere of the child's obedience. They are in reality obeying Christ, the Lord, by obeying their own parents. When you submit to authority God has placed over you in your life, that is who you're obeying. You're obeying the Lord. And kids, and adults, this needs to be of the heart. If it's true obedience, it's true submissiveness to Christ, it's going to be in the heart. When your dad or mom says, take out the garbage, and you just do it, and okay, I'll do it. God sees your heart. God knows what's in your heart, and that's the obedience He wants. The same is true for me as a husband. God says to love her, okay, I'll love her. I'll be selfless. Well, no. It needs to come from my heart. Same as a wife submitting to her husband. Same as a congregation submitting to the leadership of the church. Any authority, same as us submitting to the government. All these submissions are to be of the heart because we're doing it to the Lord. And this is not possible of our own. You can produce it. As we talked last week, you may be able to grind your teeth and bear it. You may not even be grinding your teeth and you can do it. But that's plastic fruit. It may look like fruit, but it's not fruit. Even false religions can produce outward manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit that look like the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, kindness, gentleness. They could produce that. But it's not genuine, friends. It's not genuine. It's plastic. True fruit from the Spirit-filled Christian is what we're dealing with here. This can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to look like fruit. It's going to smell like fruit. It's going to have the aroma of Christ. It's going to have the flavor of Christ. So kids, are you obeying your parents all the time? Are you obeying them from your heart? Hey, I'm not perfect. Sanctification is a process. But you're not going to do this on your own. You need to seek the Lord. And He will produce this in you. It's a day by day, moment by moment, dependence on the Lord, on the Holy Spirit, to manifest this in your lives, friends. It can only be produced by one living in a Spirit-filled life. It is done rightly relating to the Lord. Just as wives, just as husbands have their orders, God's design. Just as a church body, just as us submitting to the government. So it's to be done in the Lord. It's also be done because it's right. Simply means it's a right thing to do in itself. Even the unsaved can recognize this. Children need to obey their parents. It's valued and recognized by unsaved. Virtually every culture, every society recognizes and needs this to be built on this present, to be built on this premise that children need to obey their parents. And when it's absent, it's a sign of decadence and degeneration. In Colossians, Paul says in 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's God's design. It's God's order of things. Or he adds, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Something that we all should be striving to do. Friends, it's one thing to say, I love God. It's quite another to show it. Often in my house, I say, you know, how do you show that you love God? Well, by obedience. We read, obedience. Are you in His Word every day? Are you obeying your parents? Husband, are you loving your wives? Wives, are you submitting to your husbands? It's the best way, as the song says, to show that you believe. It's also the best way that you show you love. If you love your parents, you're going to obey them. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, which we looked at, says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So there are two motivations, kids, here, for obeying your parents. One, it's the right thing to do. The other, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Submission to your parental authority in your life is a sign that you're walking in the Spirit, that you're in right relationship to the Lord. Remember, I'm going to keep saying this. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is how you're relating to God's Word. If you're disobeying God's Word, friends, I don't care how you feel, you're out of fellowship. And you need to confess that and get right and start walking. Kids, if you're disobeying your parents, you need, and you're a Christian, you're saved, you need to confess that before the Lord and get right, get back into fellowship. And seek His grace to develop that obedience, that submissive spirit. And this is, again, this is one of those check engine lights on the walk, your Christian walk. Do you have a submissive spirit? If you don't, I would suggest take it before the Lord. It's not good. Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you have a thankful spirit? We've gone over this. These are checkpoints in our walk that we need to continuously check and self-examine ourselves. It's not just on Lord's table that we self-examine ourselves. We need to do that each and every day. I would suggest the best time to do that is the first thing in the morning. Start your day with God's Word. Show Him that He's first in your life. Show Him that you're completely dependent on Him. So children are to obey their parents. They're also to honor their parents. See that in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So second obligation is placed upon the children that extends beyond the marriage bond, as I said. In other words, we are always, continuously to honor our parents. In fact, you should always honor those that are older, according to Scripture. Those with gray hair should give their seat up for them, children. You should show them respect and open the door for them. But here in our context, specifically, your parents, to honor them. It carries the idea of respect. So not just obey, but honor. And it's because God commands it. It's the first commandment. The first commandment in the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. Let me tell you, friends, sometimes we can get a theological grid and take that into Scripture and say, well, this is not written to me, and therefore I don't need to heed it, and I don't even need to read it. This is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. All Scripture. Not just Paul's writings, as some teach, in ultra-dispensationalism. No, all Scripture. Now, it may not be written to us. When God says to Adam, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's not written to me. I can't obey that. But it's profitable. I know, obey God or there's consequences. This is a universal truth. And there are many universal truths within Scripture. one of his children, obey your parents. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Make disciples. It's a universal truth. It's taught within the New Testament. All the one another's are there practically for you to build on that. But if you take a grid and shove it in Scripture, then you say, well, it's not written to me. Well, same is true here. Friends, this is written to us. And it goes back to the commandments. We're not under the Mosaic law. That's not what Paul's saying. He put it for Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. That's specifically to Israel. But there's a universal principle there. Obey your parents. Paul is not saying we're under the Mosaic system. Scripture is clear about that. We're no longer under the Mosaic law. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And Paul is doing is using the aspect of the laws in illustration, picking up on the fact that there are benefits to one who obeys and honors his parents as a practice. It's a universal principle. Obey your parents. God gives instruction to parents in Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Now it's to Israel. It says, hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to the children and shall talk of them. And as you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise up. In other words, always teaching your children the aspects of what God's Word says, the precepts and principles of God's Word. Reason to honor, secondly, is because there's great reward. And we saw that in Deuteronomy. The idea is you may prosper, and is explained in the next phrase where it says that you may be well, it may be well with you, and you may live long on earth. And this is the difference with the Old Testament text. The Old Testament promise that their days would be prolonged in the land that God gave them. This has very specific meaning for the Old Testament Jews, the theocracy, the law of Moses in the land of Canaan. Paul changes it to which suits his purpose here. What he probably means is that one who follows this principle to respect his parents will find smoother path in life, resulting in a longer life. It's a general principle. The factors are involved for someone, as well said, obedient children have lived short lives, while some vile, disobedient children have lived to ripe old age. We live in a fallen world. This is a general principle. If generally you obey your parents, you're going to have a longer life. It is going to be well with you. If you don't, it won't. Friends, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. But there were even times in my dysfunctional home where I didn't have guidance and everything that once in a while I would disobey. It got me into a heat of trouble. And I'm sure each one of you maybe have a testimony of that. Proverbs 4:10 says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." It's a general principle. If you follow God's design, your life will be better. It will be well for you. If you don't, it won't. Well, I guess we'll move on to parents. I'll lay off you kids for now. Let's look at God's will for parents. We see here that fathers are specifically addressed. They are the head of the home. They are more apt to overdo discipline too. However, the same restriction would apply to an overbearing mother. In that case, the husband should step in as head of the family and lovingly correct his wife. This is why he alone is addressed in this passage, because he is the head of the home. One of my mentors, you men of Jim Hunter, he was here at the installation service. He gave the charge to me. He would tell my wife, he says, as you submit to your husband, there are going to be times guaranteed that you're going to disagree with him. Duck. God will get him. You just duck. Parents, kids, you may disagree with your parents at times. You need to obey. It's their responsibility over you. Parents, it's our job to lead our children in the admonition of the Lord. But ultimately, dads, you're the one that are going to be accountable for what goes in your house. That should be sobering. You're going to stand before the Lord, the creator of the universe, and give account. And that's why it's fathers here. And number one, fathers are not to provoke their children. Verse 4. What does it mean to provoke your children? Provoke has the idea of make angry. Colossians 3:21 adds the idea of fathers are not to exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. This could be done through criticism, neglect, harsh actions, insensitivity, overprotectiveness, favoritism, unreasonableness. Have you ever been guilty of that, dads? I have. We need to confess that. You need to get right. You need to confess that before your children. Sin. Earlier, the apostle had expressed his concern about anger among God's people, urging his readers to deal with it promptly. Be angry, sin not. Anger isn't sin. If it's righteous anger, the problem is most of our anger is unrighteous. But even if it is righteous anger, as we saw in the text, the idea is it should not go, the sun should not go down in our anger. We need to take it before the Lord. Because it will eventually turn to unrighteous anger. If anger is prolonged, Satan can use it for his own ends, exploiting the strains that develop within the Christian community. Now, specifically within the family, fathers are urged to avoid those attitudes, words, and actions which would provoke their children to anger. If we are disciplining our children and there's anger involved, that's sin. Parents, there should be no anger in our discipline. There should be no frustration. It should be coming along our children, explaining what they did wrong. And yes, there is to be capital punishment at times. I think there's stages in life when that is. We believe in first-time obedience. And that's what needs to be taught to children. And it is for their own good. But there should not be anger. If there is anger, or if it promotes anger, if it's ridicule, that needs to be confessed. And I have done that many times. If there is a marriage class or a convention and I'm available, I'm there. If there is a parenting class or seminar that I think will benefit, we're there. Why? Because I haven't arrived yet, friends. I don't know if that's a shock to you. And I won't. It's a continuous walk of striving to be who God wants me to be as He's revealed in His Word. And it is only through the progressive sanctification work of the Holy Spirit in my life that I grow in this process. Fathers are to train their children. Verse 4 as well. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What does it mean to discipline and instruct your children? There is a strong contrast here, but bring them up. Not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up. It is a reference to the spiritual side of raising children. Literally, rear them up tenderly. Nurture them. Bring them up or nurture them, training or discipline. This is the word for child training, meaning to train by discipline and correction. This implies a healthy relationship to the Word of God. 2 Timothy, as I quoted, 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It's exactly what God said. And it's profitable for doctrine, teaching you what is right. For reproof, teaching you what is wrong. For correction, teaching you how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, teaching you how to stay right. This is the idea, instructing your children in the nurture of the Lord. Fathers are to train or discipline and admonish. Admonish is where we get the word nouthetic counseling from. It's placing honor on that person. It's letting them know when they're walking wrong, out of love, correcting them, warning the child. Titus 3:10 says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. There's that word again. We're to do this to each other, admonish one another. We're also to do it in our home. And friends, all ministry should flow out of our home. It's not different what we tell others to what we're doing in our home. It should be the exact same thing. It should flow out of there naturally. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and he shall, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now, friends, this is because if you have a child that goes astray and departs, we live in a sin-cursed world. This is a general principle. It doesn't mean you failed as a parent if your child goes astray. You can do everything right and they can still do that, sadly. Because they're responsible between the Lord as well. Your job is to do the right parenting. Children's job is to obey that parenting. This training and admonition which fathers are to give is further described as of the Lord. The phrase could be understood as subjective genitive, indicating that behind those who teach and discipline their children stands the Lord himself. Ultimately, the concern of parents is not simply that their sons and daughters will be obedient to their authority, but that through this godly training and admonition, their children will come to know and obey the Lord himself. That's our goal. I don't want my children to obey me because I'm the leader. I want them to obey me because God has placed me as authority over them. I want them to obey the Lord. And that should be our goal as well. Paul wants the Christian fathers to be gentle, patient educators of their children, whose chief weapon is Christian instruction focused on loyalty to Christ as Lord. Christian fathers should be completely different than fathers in the rest of society. Is when we discipline our children, when we correct them, it should be going to the cross of Jesus Christ. That sin, that disobedience was already dealt at the cross. Our discipline needs to be gospel-centered. And so does our training them up. It's not for our own objectives. And we don't want just outward obedience. We shouldn't. We want them rightly related to God. That's what truly matters. Well, these are sobering words from God's word to me as a father. And there is much work in my life that needs to be done as a father and as a husband. And I know I cannot accomplish it of my own. I might be able to manifest something, but guess what? It's going to be like Dr. Les Olala said, plastic fruit. It may look like it, but it won't have the aroma, it won't have the flavor of Christ. So let's seek the Lord to develop these characteristics in us through the Holy Spirit to manifest Christ's likeness in our lives. Let's seek the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you as truly needy people. Father, I know as I see your word and I've reflected on your word in preparation for this message, I see my failures as a husband and as a father. And Father, I know that to be pleasing in your sight, this is not something that can be developed that's innate in me. It only can be manifested by the Holy Spirit who indwells me and every believer. Father, our prayer is that we would be the channels, that the Holy Spirit would manifest Christ's likeness in our lives, that our children would obey their parents in the Lord, that they would be producing Christ's likeness, a submissive spirit, a Christ mindset, a spirit-filled life. Father, I know as a parent, I don't want just imitators. I don't want plastic fruit around my household or in my life. I want genuine spiritual fruit. Please give us wisdom as fathers, as parents, to train our children according to your will as you have declared it clearly in your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name.